Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It is so good to be back with you. I'm telling you, just thinking about how good God has been to us all, especially with the storms in the previous days, the Lord has kept us. Can we just give him some praise, put some emoticons, some hallelujahs, some thank yous, just thanking him for his grace and mercy. As always, thank you so much for staying connected with us. You know what? God wants to use us in amazing ways. If you look at my background, you'll see that megaphone and that lady, she's screaming out. We're going to actually pick up Jonah again and deal with his issues. And in spite of his issues, God is still going to show up and show out. Thank you for staying connected to ebcnc.com. We've got Monday manna at 7 o'clock on that virtual connection. We've got Tuesday noonday Bible study where we're going through the book of Genesis. We've got our Wednesday Bible study at 7 o'clock on that virtual connection where we're going through the book of Luke. And we also have an in-person Bible study at 6 o'clock that God has blessed so much as we're going through the book of 1 Corinthians. Continue to please pray for our 8:45 and our 10:45 in-person services. The Lord is just doing amazing things there also. And of course, our 10 o'clock online that is impacting so many people. I want to thank you for your giving as always. God loves a cheerful giver, and that we can purpose in our heart and we can give, that we don't have to have pressure on us, but we can be cheerful in our mindset because God has been so good to us. I want to remind you this afternoon we have our Youth Connect and Bible study at 2 o'clock. So right there in our sanctuary. So bring all your young people out that we can celebrate Jesus. Well, I'm thinking about the word today. I am ready to get in it. And I just want you to examine yourself and just think about how God can use you. We'll see you soon.
Our scripture reading will come from the book of Psalms, Psalms 121. The psalmist writes, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. For he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. For the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. For the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore.
They said I wouldn't make it. They said I wouldn't be here today. They said I'd never amount to anything. But I'm glad to say that I'm on my way, and I'm growing more and more each day. There were many who started out with me, but now they've gone astray. But I'm still holding on. I'm still holding on. Yes, I'm still holding on to his hand.
just thinking about that hymn. Jesus is all the world to me. I pray that he is all the world to you. As we get into today's lesson, we are getting back into fulfilling our calling. And I pray and believe that the Lord has been speaking to you, because he's definitely been speaking to my heart. Let's get back into our memory scripture. Remember, we've been reading the scripture aloud so we can get our mind and seat to our hearts. And that's 1 Corinthians 6:19. That 1 Corinthians 6:19. I want you to read it aloud with me so it can get in our mind and seep into our hearts. Let's read. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Doesn't that make you feel good just to know that God has us? Before we go any further, I just want you to go in a word of prayer with me. And I ask you to really just ask the Lord to speak to your heart as we get into the scripture today. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this day that you've made, and that you've given us the ability to rejoice in it, no matter the situations we find ourselves in. I pray for those who are viewing and listening in, Father, that may not know you. I pray that today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth, Lord Jesus, and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead, and you said we would be saved. Lord, I thank you for that wonderful grace. We're going to talk about that today, that you've given us. Now, Lord, I ask you to really just speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, you are our teacher and our guide, and we welcome you. Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a child can be transformed to be like you? We just thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you put in the chat just amen? God is good. And today, I told you we were going back to the book of Jonah. I think this is going to be on the last section that we'll be dealing with, and I'll kind of summarize the remainder of that book. But I want us to go to Jonah chapter 3, and let's focus in on that fifth verse, Jonah 3:5. It reads, "So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them." I want to read that again, Jonah 3:5. "So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them." I want to speak from a title of the day: do what God tells you to do. Yes, do what God tells you to do. Some of you who know how to use those emoticons, can you put one of those finger emoticons? It's kind of pointing at your neighbor, and you're pointing at yourself also. So I want us to do what God tells us to do. The time frame is around 773 to 755 BC. Remember, we introduced Jonah on last Sunday, and Jonah was on the run. He chose to go 2,000 miles in the opposite direction that God wanted him to go. And so he had to be thrown off a ship. And as he's thrown off the ship, we find out that a great fish swallows him up. There, while he's in that belly of the fish, repentance is taking place. Just a little review from last week. We were in Jonah 1:3, but Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And we talked about that. When your calling doesn't make sense, Jonah was really fighting against the calling of the Lord, but God and that great fish are going to have that final word. Some points from last Sunday was, where is the need? God wants us to be where that need is, choosing a different path. Oftentimes we do that. Warnings from God. We talked about sleep. Remember Jonah in that ship, sleep. Own it. We've got to own our mistakes and take them to the Lord. And he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins when we confess them to him. And then we talked about the consequences of sin. So just wanted to pick up a scripture I told you about. You know, he's been swallowed, that Jonah 2:10. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. So here at this point, Jonah is in a repentive state. He has said, okay, God, I surrender all. Remember that. Lord, I give up. And so God's like, okay, let's get you back on track. I wanted you to go to Nineveh. I want you to know that Jonah has some issues still in his heart, but God is still a wonderful God and a gracious and kind God. Let's jump into the section. Jonah 3:1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Somebody said, can you put two in the chat? Just put two wherever you're sitting or standing. Just say the second or number two time, saying, I want to stop right there. I want to give you a point from this. How many times will it take for you to get it? Yes, that's the point. I know it's a longer point, but how many times will it take for you to get it? How many times does God have to speak to you in that calling that he's put on your life for you to actually walk in it? Romans, the book of Romans actually captures the persistence of God. God is a persistent God. He is a patient God. He will track you down. Any amens out there? Romans 11:29 of the Contemporary English Version says, God doesn't take back the gifts he has given or forget about the people he has chosen. He doesn't. We want to run. We want to hide from him, but you cannot hide from God. Jesus said in Revelations 3:20, I love this, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Can you put in the chat, knock? Just say knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. The Lord is knocking at our hearts. He wants to fulfill that calling. And I believe we taught on last Sunday, from an early age, God has been dealing with our hearts. We are the ones that have been deviating, going our own direction, but he continues to knock. You may say, what is God's voice? Pastor, you've been talking about the fulfilling of the calling in my life. How do I know that it's God? Well, there's an example from the Old Testament. Remember Elijah's encounter with God? I just want to pick up that, and I'll make some extrapolations as we're talking about do what God tells you to do. Jonah is that example. 1 Kings 19:11. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountain and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Oftentimes we're looking for God to show up in the big stuff, and he can, but oftentimes it's that small, it's those, just that still small voice. I'm going to get to that. 1 Kings 19:12, and after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still small voice. It's just the knowing of that God has spoken to us, that he's put an affirmation, which generally follows peace, as God is still dealing with Elijah in that 1 Kings 19:13. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And that's God, that still small voice. And he asks us questions. Why are you on this path? Why are you running? I am here. I am longing for you. And Jonah finds himself in this same situation. Look at Jonah 3:2. It says, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. Here's the point. God will help you. In the fulfilling of our calling, God is like, I want you to get where I will have you to be so that my provisions will be there. His provisions have been there from the foundation of the earth, but we've just got to get where he wants us to be at. Here's Jonah's provision in that Jonah 3:2, that last part. It says, to wit, the message that I tell you, the message that I tell you. And so in this whole process, God is saying, I've got the message. I'm going to tell it to you. All you got to do is just tell others that same thing. But remember, Jonah had already been told. Remember the struggles that he was going through in Jonah 1:2. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. So God had given this proclamation over and over again, but now there was a struggle in Jonah. Preach actually means to proclaim. God wants him to proclaim. And I believe in, as I think about all the studies that I've looked at from the beginning of the Bible to the end, that this proclamation, this preaching is on all believers, that God wants us to really carry forth his message. All saints actually fall under that great commission of proclaiming God in our lives. And I ask you that question, but what are you proclaiming as you walk through your day? Are you saying, you know what, I'm for God or I'm for the devil? And so in our thought patterns, we've got to realize that we are example, that great commission out of Mark 16:15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Isn't that good just to know that God is working out the situation? He is using us even when we feel like we can't be used. We must remember God is asking us to do something that he's going to help us with. Isn't that good news just to know that he is the one that helps us in spite of ourselves? We must never forget his name. His name talks about this process of helping us. Isaiah 7:14 and Matthew 1:23 say the same thing. It says, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name. Here it is, Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. In that chat, can you quickly type God with us? Doesn't that bring exhilaration to you, a comfort to you to know that God is with you? That's why we've got to do what God tells us to do. I love Psalms 46:1. It says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. No matter what we're going through, God says, I will be with you. Let's go to Jonah 3:3. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Jonah 3:5. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Here's one word, grace. Yes, grace. Don't you love that? G-R-A-C-E. Can you put in the chat, grace, wherever you're sitting or standing, just say grace. God's grace is usually defined as undeserved favor. Can you say undeserved favor? We could not merit it within ourselves. Grace cannot be earned. It is something that is freely given. I want to say that again. Grace cannot be earned. It is something that is freely given. This is what these cruel Ninevites will experience because Jonah has chose to do finally what God told him to do. And in the fulfilling of our calling, we've got to realize it is bigger than us. When we get to where God would have us to be, God is going to reach, he's going to impact, he's going to change people's lives. That's why it's so important, and God has put this on my heart, for us to understand the fulfillment of the calling of God in our lives. This grace is powerful because God is saying, I can use you in spite of yourself to touch someone else who's going down the wrong path. There ought to be some witnesses in the house. This week, a few days ago, I was able to look at the George Foreman movie, and I encourage you, if you have some time, to look at it just for a historical background. But George Foreman, interesting, twice he was able to get that heavyweight championship of the world. He was young the first time, old the second time, but God took him on a journey where he literally lost everything within his life, and God was able to give it back to him when he finally got to his calling. And that's what it's about. We mess up in our lives. We make mistakes. We go in the wrong direction like Jonah, but aren't you glad for grace? We see grace in Jonah's life, but we also see grace again in the Ninevites. Let's look at that Jonah 3:4 again. It says, and Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Look at this fifth verse. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Do what God tells you to do. I'm telling you, this is good news, because when we get where God would have us to be, as said earlier, that's when we see the anointing. That's when we see power. That's when we see change. Isaiah 55 lets us know around that 11th verse, it says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish. Can you say accomplish. You can put in the chat, accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing of which I sent it. That's what it's all about, to get where God would have us to be. Do what God tells us to do. God says, I am going to allow it to prosper simply because I'm the one who's fulfilling the calling in your life. The Spirit speaks of God's word and the power of God's word in Hebrews 4:12. It says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. This is Jonah. He's being used in a amazing way to speak truth to the Ninevites, and their hearts are being changed. We can never forget about Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We are seeing a picture of grace when we do what God wants us to do. Jonah is experiencing grace in his life and also seeing it in the Ninevites. Look at Jonah 3:6. Then word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. This word, it made it up. Jonah's walking through the city, probably running through the city. He's proclaiming this word. He's going out, and it finally gets to the king, Jonah 3:7, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hand. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Man, that's good. Here's the point. Your call changes the lives of others. We've been talking about this, but I wanted to get it in thought pattern. Your call changes the lives of others. When we do what God wants us to do, I'm telling you, people are blessed. Can you put in the chat, blessed? Can you just say blessed? When we get where God would have us to be at, people are blessed all around us. Even though Jonah took a circuitous route and went all around the way, God was able to get that fish, get him back to the Nineveh, and others are still blessed as he is going through the city. Theologian McDonald actually summarizes what's going on. The Ninevites, who worshiped the fish god Dagon, apparently knew what had happened to Jonah. Other men who have survived similar experiences in history and such mottled skin from the digestive juices that they would stand out in any crowd. He was assigned to them. The entire city repented and believed God, from the greatest to the least. A fast was proclaimed for man and beast alike, and sackcloth was put on all, from king to cattle. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Notice again this Jonah 3:8, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from his violence that is in his hands. I hope you're seeing where we're going here. When we do what God wants us to do, this is what can happen to our neighbors. This is what can happen to our enemies. Those people that are causing so much problem, your job and struggling in your relationships and your family, just get where God would have you to be at and allow him to fulfill the call in you. I'm telling you, you're going to see some changes in people's lives. How is your calling, again, changing other people's lives? Or how will your call impact the lives of others for the future? That's where I want to be at. I want to see people's lives impacted in the future for the good, for Christ, all because we have decided to get where God would have us to be. One particular person that really lived this in a dreamlike state was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I'm telling you, he preached a sermons that had lasting impact, and he also lived actionable lives. And as you remember that particular sermon he preached, I Have a Dream, he says that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I'm telling you, oftentimes we take for granted people's lives and how it's impacted us. So much has changed. I know it's not perfect out there, but hadn't God been good? He went on and said, I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. He said, I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I'm telling the Lord has blessed so many. I have a dream that one day down in Alabama, with his vicious racist, with his governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right down in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. He went on and says, I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, every hill and mountain shall be made low, and the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. That's good news today. What are you dreaming about? That your life can be used in an amazing way, that God can fulfill his calling in you, and that people's lives can be changed generationally. We've got to do what God would have us to do. Let's sum this up. Let's look at Jonah 3. 3:10. Then God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way. And God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Final point, God's will be done. Yes, God's will be done. Ultimately, our calling that God has put on our life, he wants to bring it forth to fulfill his will, but not necessarily our will. There ought to be some ouches out there, some amens out there. It's all about God's will. Now, it's great when God's will and our wills intermingle, but I found out in my life, there's oftentimes a juxtaposition. There's oftentimes a challenge here within my life because God's will wanted me to go this way. Kind of like Jonah, I need you to go to the Ninevites, but Jonah's like, nah, I don't want to go to the Ninevites. I want to go my own way. So our will sometimes battle against God's will, but when we can change and we can submit ourselves more and more to God's will and they come together, man, that's where the peace. But please, ultimately, the calling that's in our lives, God says, I want my will to be done. Judson W. Van Deventer in 1896, he said this song, and I'm telling you, it's still hard for me to sing this song, and I believe some of you will be challenged also. It says, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender, make me Savior, holy thine. Let me feel thy holy power, Holy Spirit, truly know that thou art mine. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power, let thy blessings fall on me. And then he goes to that chorus, it says, I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. I am telling you, we just got to do what God would have us to do. But understand, Jonah here, he should have been shouting and praising the Lord because of this great deliverance that was brought to the Ninevites. But please, he had his own challenges. His will was still working, and he was struggling because this was his arch enemy. He did not want God to show grace and mercy. But aren't you glad that God is bigger than us? Well, as we stop here today, Jonah's ending is uncertain. I encourage you to read that remainder of the book. He's got some big issues, but I'm glad that there is a better Jonah. Any glad folks out there? His name is Jesus. Jesus was the one that came from heaven to earth to walk among men, heal the sick, and he raised the dead. But he was able to teach like none other. Jonah had a powerful message as he went through Nineveh, and hearts were changed. But Jesus in Matthew 7:28, and so as was when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just do what God tells you to do. Jesus came from heaven to earth to do and fulfill the will of the Father. He said, whatever you see me do, the Father has already told me. There were times that the officers were supposed to get Jesus and take him in because he was turning the world upside down. But John 7:45, then the officers came to the chief priests and the Pharisees who said to them, why have you not brought him? The officers answered, no man ever spoke like this man. There ought to be some shouts. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't stop right there, but he realized that he had to get all the way through Nineveh. He had to get through the world. He had to get through all the mess that was there, and he had to go to the cross of Calvary. Jonah would have never gone to the cross, and even if he had made it to a cross, I'm telling you, it would not have been enough. But there ought to be some glad folks that say, I know about a Savior, and his name is Jesus, that was without sin, that carried our sins on the cross of Calvary. He died on that cross and he gave up the ghost. And I am so glad to tell you that 3 days later he gets up with all power and glory, because he chose to do what the Father told him to do. And even as he got up on that third day, there was still anointing in him to change lives. Luke 24:32, and they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? I am telling you, that's what God wants for our lives. When we get in his will, when we allow him to fulfill the calling that he has in our lives, I am telling you, this world will be changed. Saints, hear me. There are so many people out there that need to hear from you. They need you to proclaim Jesus in your life. They need you to get in the place where God would have you to be. Wherever that is, I encourage you, ask God to use you. Who will be used today at Food Line? Who will be used today as you're driving? Who will be used today as you go to the service station? Who will be used today even after church? Who will be used today in your family talking to a grandchild or a child? Who will be used today as a husband and a wife to make change, lasting change that glorifies God? Oh Lord, I pray that your calling be fulfilled in our life. Saints, I encourage you to say, like that song, I surrender all to you. Even though Jonah didn't turn out too good, I am so glad that we have Jesus who has paid it all for us. If you don't know Christ today, I pray that today be your day, that you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and the scriptures are clear, you will be saved. Accept that wonderful gift from God today, and so that we all can do what God tells us to do. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for your wonderful grace and mercy. Thank you for using Jonah in spite of his struggles, but thank you most importantly for your son, Jesus the Christ. Lord, thank you for working in us. Thank you for giving us time. Thank you, God, for changing us from the inside out. We just give you the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
God is able to do just what he said he would do. He's gonna fulfill every promise to you. Don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you. He's able. He's able. God is able to do just what he said he would do. He's gonna fulfill every promise to you. Don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you. He's able. He's able. God is able to do just what He said He would do. He's gonna fulfill every promise to you. Don't give up on God, 'cause He won't give up on you. He's able.
Again for communion, and I pray that you have been blessed and just thinking about how God is working in you. And I think it's a great day, as always, to put Christ first, and that's what communion is all about. So get those articles. You've got bread, or you got the communion cups, get you a little juice or whatever you have, and I want you to just to focus in. If there is anything that is on your heart or mind, maybe there's someone that you fell out with, and text them, say you're sorry. Maybe there's just something heavy. Maybe you need to push pause right now and just go, okay, I need to get this right, just the Lord and myself. Whatever it takes, we want you to take this communion in the right mindset. So before we get started, I'm going to ask Bianca if you would just pray over the bread and pray over the juice.
Let's pray. Lord, we praise you and thank you for your wonderful gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, and for salvation that was wrought through His death, burial, and resurrection. Lord, we ask that you would bless our articles, bless the juice that is representative of His spilt blood, Lord, and we ask that you would bless the bread that represents His broken body, Lord, that we would take it in a way that glorifies you, Father, and we just praise you and thank you again for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, as I think about Paul the Apostle, he gets a revelation of this communion that we're getting ready to take in 1 Corinthians 11:23. Just want to just quote a portion of it. It says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take ye, this is my body which is broken for you. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death till he come." And that's what we're doing. We're proclaiming who he is and what he's done for us. As Jesus goes into that upper room with his disciples on that final Passover before the crucifixion, it's a bustle in the room. I can just see it. Peter is talking to John, and John is talking to Simon. It's just a lot of stuff that's going on. And then Jesus picks up that bread that would be shared amongst them, and he breaks it. And when he breaks that bread, he gets their attention. He says, "This represents my body, which is going to be broken for you. As often as you eat it, let's do it in remembrance of him. Let us eat together." The disciples are quiet at this point. They're chewing on that bread. Then Jesus gets that goblet of wine that would also be shared amongst them. And this is the kicker that gets me. I'm processing the broken body, but then he says, "This represents my blood that's going to be shed for you. As often as you drink, let's do it in remembrance of him. Let's drink together." What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. As you go through your day, never forget the awesome sacrifice that was made for you, for us, on that cross, that we can live holy before him and that he can fulfill the calling that he has in our lives. As you go forth, think about how good God has been. Well, until we meet again, you be blessed.